Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. Carter Rodriguez is out of town. I believe he's in Poland. I'm a bad friend, so I didn't really pay attention. So I thought it'd be a fun opportunity to kind of have a little bit of the summit of the Spurned X's. I have a lot of the Heatbeat crew here. We got Giancarlo Navas, who is still the only NBA Twitter person to ever vacation in Winnipeg. How's it going, man?
Yes! I'm out here standing, Winnipeg, Fork. Check it out.
Forks, close enough. I'll take it. I don't have a lot of people speaking the good word of Winnipeg, so I'll take it wherever I can find it.
That stadium's nice.
Also from Miami Heat Beat, Harrison, how are you doing today, man? You might know him on Twitter as Hot Take Harry.
I'm good. I've never been to Winnipeg, but the rest of Canada's pretty nice.
Yeah. I mean, we're smack dab in the middle. So if you're saying the rest of Canada, I'm assuming you haven't just finally avoided Winnipeg traveling across it.
Yeah, just not intentional. Just have been to other places in Canada.
Jesus Christ, Harry.
Why are you the defensive one right now or the apologetic one? That's my job.
Very nice time. Very nice time.
We also have – should we consider you the GOAT of Heat Twitter, Alf?
Yes. No, that's silky.
The president. I'm the president.
Yeah. I, as long as it's anyone but Nikias, I'm pretty okay with it.
Same here.
You know, we actually had a goat, like an actual goat on Heat Twitter.
That was silky.
Silky. Rest in peace.
I've only been to Montreal and Quebec because my family's Haitian, and Haitian people go where people speak French, and it's just easier for us. And I don't think there are any black people in Winnipeg, so I've stayed away.
That's not. It's actually a very multicultural city, and
you're lying. You have no proof of that. I'm gonna go with my assertion is that there are no black people in Winnipeg, and someone's gonna have to make me believe otherwise.
I'm going to like tweet you pictures of the few we have.
Photoshop.
I'm gonna be that guy with the I have black friends, basically.
That's like one of those college brochures. And they show you like four different universities and the same black girls in each one.
Yeah. The stock photo.
And one of her hands disappears somehow because it's all Photoshop.
There's always a Justin, a you, and then like an Asian guy.
But the Asian guy actually does go to four colleges.
Jesus Christ.
All right. This is off to a fantastic start. When Carter gets back, we'll talk about Sexton and driving. We will talk about what's going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers. But right now, we're going to get a little bit petty because LeBron James is on the LA Lakers, and everything about it has become just hilarious. They thought signing Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, shout out to Clutch Sports. Lance Stevenson, man, I almost forgot Lance Stevenson, the next coming of Dennis Rodman and Meta World Peace. They're just an absolute disaster, and who better to kind of laugh at the situation than Heat and Cavs fans? So I'm just going to throw it to you guys, and whoever's most aggressive can take the first shot. But what's kind of your reaction to watching how the LeBrexit played out and what the Lakers have done since acquiring him?
How is no one mad at him for leaving? Like, so he left Cleveland for Miami, and then the world went up in arms. And then he left Miami for Cleveland, like, pretty, like, underhandedly. And then everyone is just like, oh, he's home. And then he just, like, left Cleveland about the same way, except without a television special that raised money for kids. And everyone seems to be cool with it, even though it seems like a very blatantly non-basketball move. And I just think that's funny because it's the Lakers, and it just, like, the coverage on him and the Heat and, like, everything around it has been particularly annoying.
I think everybody looked at the last 4 years and was just like, okay, he has to get out of Cleveland. Like, everyone understood. Like, nobody thought he was going back to Cleveland. And the Lakers thing is everyone loves the fucking Lakers. The Lakers are shit. Like, whoa, so much history and blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit? Like, everyone loves the Lakers. Everyone hated the Heat. Supposedly the Heat doesn't have any history. Honestly, I think the media was just tired of going to Cleveland every year for the finals. So
honestly, I'm surprised you guys showed up for the first quarter of this podcast. I figured you'd show up late and leave early.
Oh, this guy, dude.
I'm surprised Cleveland fans have internet. So it's always
Jesus Christ.
Do people in Cleveland know what a podcast is?
I like that we're 5 minutes into the Lakers slander podcast, and we've talked about Winnipeg, and now we're taking shots at one another. This is perfect. There couldn't be a more perfect union.
What about the fact that LeBron set up his escape to the Lakers? Like, he made the Cavs take in Clarkson and Nance and gave up a first-round pick while setting up enough cap room for him to slide off into the Lakers. I mean, if we want to get into how sneaky LeBron is, how underhanded, how rude, I mean, I have a list you would not believe what this guy's done in the last 8 years to the Heat and the Cavs.
Harrison, how are you sounding so much more petty than me? The funny thing about the Clarkson and Nance move is that whole thing was, the critique was, okay, now because of this move, the Lakers have the ability to sign two max players. So now they have the tools to sign Paul George, and that's going to be what recruits LeBron there. The Cavs are so dumb for letting that happen. Turns out he's fine going there for nothing, and then they waste that extra space, at least for this year, on Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson. Matt, how much do you – they would kill to have Larry Nance as their starting center. They would probably kill to have Jordan Clarkson over Lance Stephenson. It's funny because, as you said, nothing about this move has to do with basketball.
They let Randall go, and Randall's a really good young player. And if he was going to take the same deal that Rondo is taking for another 2 years, why would you make that swap? I mean, I get it. Playing with LeBron doesn't seem to be it doesn't seem like everyone wants to do it, especially at LeBron's age right now. But why wouldn't you keep a guy who's grown up in your system, who's getting better every year, who comes from a good lineage in Kentucky? I mean, what are you doing? I get it. Fine, you want to have cap space next year. What if no one wants to play with LeBron next year after another year of getting old, probably a year of getting fat? He's not going to care this year. And it's going to be an old, fat LeBron.
Are you predicting
LeBron.
He goes like Baron Davis when Baron Davis just stopped giving a shit?
Yes.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, I know, like, the reports are saying that he signed off on all these moves. Like, they have an idea of how they want him to play, and this is all part of the plan. Are we all calling bullshit on that? Because I am.
Is the plan a nine seed? Because it seems to be working.
Wait, am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're all calling bullshit on that, right? Like, they thought they were getting Paul George and Kawhi. Like, that was the plan, right? I'm not crazy because what's going on now? That's not a plan. This is like Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, and Lance Stephenson is like plan Z2B. Like that is absolute worst nightmare. There's no way they planned this.
Want to know what I think it is? I think they looked at what happened in Miami and Cleveland, and they're like, No. We are not taking all the blame for signing Derrick Rose. We are not taking all the blame for signing all these players that LeBron wants that it doesn't pan out. We're getting out in front of this, and we are saying that LeBron is having a hand in this. Because every other location, it's been LeBron has had absolutely nothing to do with this. It's all the front office. And I even remember after the trades, they were talking, I think it was Dave McMiniman, who was talking about he had a conversation with LeBron, and he was so happy that the Cavs added intelligence, two-way players, guys that play the game the right way, and how excited he was to play with them. And then after the fact, when everything kind of falls apart, it's, oh, those guys were terrible. He needs high IQ players. We need to go out and get Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee. I think the Lakers are just like, hey, we got at least 3 years of security here. We're not taking the blame.
Yeah, I don't.
That's a good theory.
I don't know, man. I mean, we could probably go back and find Magic Johnson tweets where he praised all these guys because Magic Johnson can't evaluate talent whatsoever. So that wouldn't surprise. Like, listen, I don't really agree, Alf. I don't think that LeBron sends, you know, his agent sends a text, congrats, balloons pop out of the text. They're all excited. And then LeBron goes back to his vacation, and here they are signing all these guys on one-year deals. I think they just realized they weren't going to do anything this year. Paul George staying in Oklahoma City threw them for a loop. They at least expected to get an interview with him. And
No, but that's what I'm saying. This wasn't the plan, right? This was not the plan, but now it's too late to go back almost. I don't – I there were trying to parlay that there were some basketball reason for it, that they wanted LeBron to play in the post. Okay, when you put LeBron in the post, you got to put shooters around him, right? They have no shooters.
Got Rondo in the corner. Rondo in the corner. Lonzo on the break.
We want LeBron clogging up the paint and Rondo posting up in the corner. That's exactly what we want. So I think there was a plan. The plan fell through, and what's going on right now is just a total shitstorm. They don't know what they're doing. And then, like you said, whoever said that Magic Johnson is a good GM? Because he bought a couple Starbucks. You guys know how I feel about Magic and his so-called business acumen. All right, listen.
I have no idea about these takes, but I like it.
Listen, every millionaire black man with a smile buys a Starbucks. Now he's a fucking genius or whatever. Anyway, Magic Johnson is not a fucking business genius, and he's also not a GM. And also, LeBron's a terrible GM. So now you have Magic Johnson and LeBron building a team, and what do you have? You have JaVale McGee. You have Lance Stevenson, and you have Rajon Rondo and KCP. And also, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram are too valuable to give up for Kawhi Leonard. That's what you have when you put those two morons together.
Damn.
I'm seething.
Do I sound petty?
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. The funny thing to me is I understand the concept behind signing the one-year guys. But you can sign better guys for the 1 year. Like, you can sign guys that make sense. Shit, Mike Scott would make more sense. Wayne Ellington would make sense. I don't get
why they didn't go after Wayne. Like, Wayne was there. Unless
I don't understand why nobody has. Like, is there something that he's been doing off court that I have no idea about?
Why did Miami has talked to him and said, hey, Wayne, wait this out. We're going to give you a deal. Let's sort out whatever, if we could unload Tyler or something. That's the only thing that makes sense, because he was too good last year for no one to have called him. Even the Warriors, like, why wouldn't the Warriors call him and say, hey, Wayne, you want to play? Like, it doesn't make sense. The other thing that kills me
is, okay, so let's go on the theory that over the last years, nobody asked LeBron to play in the post, and that's why he hasn't done it. And now that Magic Johnson has asked him to play in the post, he's going to play at power forward and center full time because they have no front court, and that's what Lakers fans seem to think is going to happen. Like, even if you look at what he did in Cleveland and in Miami, he'll play power forward offensively, but you have to have a guy that's there to play power forward defensively. You need to have Shane Battier there. You need to have, God, Jeff Green or Jay Crowder. Like, you need to have those guys, at least a body to throw there. Richard Jefferson played in that role. Like, Brandon Ingram can't do that. Josh Hart is 6.
But wait, in the Lakers' defense, and I don't want to do that much, but, I mean, you just threw out Richard Jefferson out there, like...
I mean, Richard Jefferson was good for the Cavs.
Yeah,
I mean,
Richard Jefferson wasn't bad, like, in 2016. Like, he played a role, and the fact... You can mock Richard Jefferson, but the fact that you can't even list a guy that can do it at the level of washed Richard Jefferson, that should be a little bit of a concern.
Listen, I thought the Cavs put some shit teams around LeBron, but like the Lakers have just taken it to a whole new level. Even their young guys, I mean, everyone keeps talking about Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball. Like, I mean, do we even know how good those guys are yet? I think Ingram... has a super high, I think they all have high ceilings, but I think Ingram's the only one even close to reaching his potential. So what are they going to, it's going to take three more years for them to hit their prime?
They're not even as good as Josh Richardson, because at least he's a completed defensive player.
At least these guys are coming into their prime. The guys on the Lakers, like, it's going to be 3 years before these guys are full NBA players. And with LeBron, LeBron's going to be 39 years old? Like, I don't understand the plan.
I have a conspiracy theory. Giancarlo, do you mind if I throw this out there?
Yeah, yeah. Go.
Okay, I think Magic Johnson wants to get in on LeBron's acting company that he's starting out there. And he put a team around him so bad that if LeBron gets a call and they're like, LeBron, we need you between December and January to shoot a movie, he'll leave and just go shoot the movie and not play basketball. And
That's when he has to go get his HGH medicine out of Miami. The storefront doctor in Hialeah. That's where he gets his shots.
Quick stop in Miami, right back to Hollywood, films the movie, stays away from the Lakers. Listen, the Lakers are going to be bad next year anyway. Might as well be bad, get a decent pick, and then they can do whatever with cap space and a pick the year after. That is what that's the only explanation. There's nothing else that makes any sense. That team is so bad. There are so many issues. Unless they're filming a documentary about how ridiculous that team's going to be, kind of like a Hard Knocks for the Lakers. I mean,
How many minutes is LeBron going to have to play next year for them to be at least a fifth seed?
Wait a second. Hold on. Justin, do you see how petty they are? They've had this pent up for 5 years.
Well, that's the thing. Like I haven't had you guys on my podcast, but I've been on your podcast, and like I've heard it seep through the cracks, and I knew that this would be the perfect venue for this. I honestly like the conspiracy theory. Yeah, that's what it is. That my co-host Carter had on what's going on here. That Kobe has so much pull in the Lakers organization that he convinced them to sign LeBron and then surround him with a cast of role players so bad that they'd miss the playoffs. So that way they can reignite the Kobe versus LeBron narrative.
That is so good. Justin, that team's not making the playoffs. Like, LeBron has to play eight. LeBron played 82 games last year with the Cavs team that's better.
He's going to sit out as much as he can convince himself.
They got to 50 wins. The A seed in the West was 47 wins last year. The A seed in the West. And LeBron had to play all 82 games to get a better Cleveland team to 50 in the East in a pretty easy division.
Damn, George Hill might be their second best player, man. Here's the thing. Like, as much as LeBron can say, okay, I'm going with the patient approach here. We don't expect to be a contender this year. That's fine. You can say that in June and July, but when it's December and you're like 10 and 18, I have a tough time picturing LeBron being like, okay, yeah, this is still fine. Like, I would expect him to just kind of kick into that mode where it's, okay, I'm going to sit out until you trade all of these scrubs. Like, you trade all these young players. I don't have time to wait for Josh Hart to develop. I actually like Josh Hart, but if LeBron passes to him twice in the corner and he misses both times, that's going to be a problem. And I don't know if Luke Walton is the guy to hold it all together when he was drafted in the same year as LeBron.
Ooh. 2003 draft, man.
That's a good point.
I think it was Paul Pierce that actually had a funny comment for once. But he's like, how is LeBron going to look Luke Walton in the eye when he's like, I average 40 points per game on your ass?
Yeah.
also, isn't it
LeBron had the same to Paul Pierce? What is Paul Pierce? How is LeBron supposed to take Paul Pierce seriously? He's like, kicked your ass for two decades.
One decade.
Well, excuse me, a decade and a half.
Isn't it weird that he's like LeBron's had one good coach for a 4 year span in Miami, and then he's found the guys that really don't know what they're doing? I mean, Ty Lue was his, like, they had Blatt in there who didn't know what he was doing.
Justin's a Blatt apologist. A Ty Lue apologist.
Yeah. Take it easy on my guy, Ty. Come on.
What do you mean?
Not a good coach.
I don't think he was the coach. He was just
The offense.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I think we're going to learn whether or not Ty Lue is a good coach. Like, Spoelstra didn't get the credit that he deserved until LeBron left. And I don't think Ty Lue is on the same level as Eric Spoelstra. But I also think it's pretty damn tough. Like, LeBron was less engaged during the regular season in Cleveland than he was even in Miami. Like, his defensive game fell off. And when you have a team that is just all veterans that have taken pay cuts, basically, to play in the playoffs and to compete for a title, and LeBron isn't playing defense, and they're coasting all regular season, it's really tough to execute or do anything. And you look at this year and just how many different variations the roster had. They didn't have a full, healthy roster through a complete game until game one against Toronto in the second round. So, I think that's a tough situation for Ty, especially when he's coughing blood on the sidelines. There's certainly the possibility that he's a bad coach, but I don't think that there's any coach alive that could have got that situation rectified with just how much bullshit was going on.
I told you, Ty Lue apologist.
Yeah, that sounded like a bunch of excuses. Like, we don't know he's a good coach yet. You didn't really give any, like, reasoning behind him maybe being a good coach.
Well, no.
Justin just blamed LeBron for Ty Lue's.
Well, I didn't want to go too far because I think it's beside the point. But in the playoffs, Ty Lue has actually done a good job, especially if you look at that 2016 title run. He outcoached those guys. Every single coach that they went up against, he came up with some game plan.
Man, juggernauts like Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, he out LeBron them, to be honest with you. Like, his game plan was LeBron play 46 and a half minutes.
I think you guys are a little unfair. Like, I do think that he does make some good playoff adjustments, especially this. I thought this playoff series he kind of did some better things.
Yeah, I think he was a little slow with his adjustments in this year. I don't think he did a great job this year, but I think he did a great job in 2016 and even in 2017. I think the 2017 team was a better team than 2016, to be honest. But I mean, that's a story for.
That offense was so good that year.
It was ridiculous. It was historically good, and I think Zach Lowe even has the same opinion. But anyways. We're kind of digressing a little bit here.
What does Zach Lowe know that I don't know?
I'd like to say you're making an excuse about Ty Lue coughing up blood on the sideline. You're supposed to tell your body not now, not now.
The great ones.
That's what the great ones do.
Deli would have.
Fuck that guy. Hate him.
But yes, Harrison, you were going on a thing about Spoelstra before we cut you off.
No, it's okay. I mean, I don't. Spoelstra will never get enough respect until probably way after he retires, and I don't know when that's going to be.
I think he does now, though. I mean, he was top three in Coach of the Year last year, which I thought was deserved. Can't get mad at who it went to.
No, I think people respect the work that goes into the Heat organization and how we really do take players that have been displaced and kind of turn them into productive rotation players, but. I think that's more the Heat system and the Heat culture. I don't know if Spo really gets enough credit for that.
I mean, but he was second or third in Coach of the Year voting last year with the team that didn't make the playoffs. Like,
what do you mean? We made the playoffs? Oh, the year before?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I just think, like, because Spo won with LeBron, it takes away from a lot of the greatness of him and how good he is in the league. Especially, there aren't that many great coaches in the NBA. That's really what it is. There's not the high echelon of coaches. There's not many of them, and a lot of them have been slipping. You know,
Eric, I kind of disagree with that. I think a lot of the Spoelstra stuff comes from that was a really big transitioning like time in the NBA. Like, I think if we look back at NBA history, those 4 years are kind of like the bridge from old style NBA to new style analytical basketball. And the Heat were right in the middle of that bridge. So maybe some of the stuff that Spo was doing, we, like, people in the media and the people that were, like, prominent in the media didn't really understand.
So shout out to Stretch 5, Chris Bosh.
Shout out to Stretch 5, Chris Bosh. Stretch 4, Shane Battier. Really turned their whatever. The point is that, like, they were doing stuff at the time that maybe did not register with the media at the time, because the media, like, you know, Chris Broussard was, like, front and center, and John Barry, like, those people didn't really understand what was going on. So the coverage on him at the time seemed super skewed, when nowadays guys like Zach Lowe, like, who are front and center, really understand the game and the analytics behind it and know what they're doing.
Right.
So I think that's a part of why the perception of Spoelstra back then was skewed as opposed to now. It was like a transition phase for the league.
Right, but I think what happens when you're in the moment, it's hard to accurately view what's happening around you. I mean, that can happen in any event. So years from now, when we're like talking to our kids about what we saw, LeBron and all that, we could all admit that 2013 LeBron was the best LeBron, the same way that like Spo will get recognition for being the coach that he is. And we won't be so focused on these stupid counting stats. I think as a society, we will get better.
We will
start to understand that there are other ways to view greatness on the basketball court.
No, Harrison, come on,
racism,
man. I'm really
in counting stats.
I'm about to jump on the ride of a point guard getting triple doubles and scowls, getting rookie of the year and winning awards. Okay, so I need those counting stats to matter now, because I don't. It might be a bit of a rough year. I mean,
what else do we have, Harrison?
But Justin, you know what I noticed? Sometimes I get bored and I'm just looking at. Who has like contracts coming up? The Cavs only have $12 million in contracts in 2020, and that's only if they like want to pay those guys. They're all team options.
Beyond that, they only have $43 million in guaranteed money next year with Kevin Love's player option, which I think the consensus is that he's going to opt out of that, and I mean, he's probably going to get traded this year if you listen to every beat reporter, but that's really not a lot of guaranteed money, especially with the cap spike going up. Not that they are going to be necessarily a free agent destination, but they're going to be in a position again where they can actually help teams get off of contracts. They can trade non-guaranteed guys like JR, Korver, Hill, to take on salary and help teams become free agent players in exchange for young assets and picks. So
he did a good job this time, Justin. Like, and that's why I think that
shout
I know
out
that
to David
people,
Griffin, man.
Yeah, Griff, man. People bashed the Kyrie deal, but that Kyrie deal gave him that pick and this flexibility because they knew in the building what was going to happen.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, they said Jason Lloyd. They did a roundtable there. The beat guys. He said that. Within a month after winning the title, when LeBron was saying he's re-upping with Cleveland, he signed that 2+1 deal, which, funny, it's only a year shorter than the deal he ended up signing with L.A. But still, they said LeBron's going to the Lakers in 2018. Like, that's what the Cavs officials said. They said he's going to the Lakers in 2018. He's made up his mind. I think the Kyrie thing kind of pushed it over the edge, and maybe there were things that they could have done to postpone it. But I think he was always going to end up being a Laker. And the funny thing about that is, though, Lakers fans will talk about Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball as being the difference makers and the reasons why he went to L.A. when I don't think it really mattered at all. Like, no. You just get flexibility, have some young players that we can trade, and I'm going there.
Hollywood.
Yeah, obviously we don't even talk about the young players because if he cared about young players and flexibility, he could have went to Philly, a team that probably would have been a lot better, a lot quicker had he gone there. So him going to LA was not about any player, any flexibility. It was about which I don't understand. Like, why, you don't have to live in LA to make movies. Like, it doesn't even make sense to me. Like,
you know what, Alf? You're right about that, but like. Kobe doesn't get that opportunity if he's not a, like, if Kobe was a, like, a Sacramento King, like, even if he wins, like, guy, no, like, yeah, those producers
Kobe
are
doesn't win an Oscar if he wasn't in LA.
Yeah. No, but, like, producers are courtside. Directors are courtside. They're going to season ticket events. They're in town. Like, I do think that that matters.
Yeah, but LeBron, I mean, his reach goes far beyond whatever city he's living in. Like,
there's something about.
They're going to come to Akron to find LeBron. Like, I don't think he has to be in LA.
I don't know, dude. I think it's different. If they're courtside and they're talking to you, you know, 42 days out of the year, you know, it's not the same. I don't know.
Listen, if I'm LeBron. And, like, I'm going to keep beating my head against the Warriors every year. And it's like, okay, so what do I want to do? Like, I go to L.A. every summer. I love L.A. All right, I'll go play with those scrubs. I don't really care. I don't even think LeBron cares. Like, he's out there in his donut floaty, just in his pool, not showing up for pizza parties. Like, he doesn't give a shit.
I can't believe he did that, dude.
L.A. is the land of opportunities if you're not playing on a contender, which I guess is what made it attractive.
Dude, he's going to have so much more time in the summer now. Like,
you want to know the best theory that I've heard? And my buddy Mike brought this up to me, and I've seen a few people kind of latch onto it after, especially kind of looking back at all the signs. Because after the fact, you're always able to look at how LeBron acts, and you're able to pick up certain things. Like him sitting courtside at Summer League last year watching Lonzo play with forget what the name was. Lynn Merritt, I think, one of the high ups at Nike. But LeBron signed that lifetime deal with Nike for over $1 billion in 2016. And maybe some part of that was, okay, we need a star back in the LA market. Maybe that was something that they were kind of pushing towards. At some point, we'd like you to go to LA. I could see that being a thing because when you're looking at it, the shoe deals are bigger than the contracts they're signing with their teams. Like, that is your main obligation. And when you're talking over $1 billion with this Nike deal, that could be something that factored into the equation.
But do you guys mind if I go off on a mini tangent here? Because we're glazing over something.
I love it. We keep teeing you up.
I want to talk about how, like, this whole thing was planned. From the time that LeBron first left Cleveland, everything was planned, and it's so frustrating. So he knew he was going to spend 4 years in Miami, but made us do a sign-and-trade where we had to trade 2 picks to Cleveland, 2 picks to Toronto for Bosch. So he had to give up those picks for no reason because he ended up opting out. Then throughout his tenure in Miami, he gets mad that we amnesty Mike Miller. He gets mad that we trade Joel Anthony. And then when he leaves and goes to Cleveland, he tells Mike Miller to come join him there. Then he trades Mike Miller to Portland so they can cut him. It's just – and then he uses it to manipulate people. He lets these things happen knowing he can use them as fuel, as leverage. So he knew that he were going to cut Mike Miller, uses it as I'm angry about it. You know, and then he just is so calculated. That's why you say, oh, this Cleveland trade with L.A. is fine. But he knew he was going to L.A. So knowing that, it makes everything about him so ridiculous. And he's so passive aggressive. And he's so – he really is the Count of Monte Cristo. I mean, I don't mean to drop literary references on a basketball podcast, but if you've read the book, I mean, that's who he is. He got, you know, he won for Cleveland, but he also left them in a bad, I think in a bad spot. And I mean, thank God you guys knew on day one he was leaving. He made us wait 10 days. We could have signed a ton of other guys. We're just sitting there waiting for LeBron.
We really missed out on that Pau Gasol bowl, Harry.
Yeah. He was flying on a plane with D-Wade editing his letter. And Wade had no idea. I guess here's the thing. Like, I don't think LeBron had any hand in the Laker trade at the deadline. I don't think he had any hand in the deals done in this last year.
Marcus Camby, boo.
Yeah.
Conspiracy.
But the I guess the thing is, like, to me, I actually still don't feel any animosity towards LeBron. Like, if I'm being perfectly honest, like, the last 4 years were fun and exhausting, and I'm kind of ready for a next chapter, and I think he certainly has every right to make whatever decision he wants. I'm just having so much fun with how the Lakers fans are perceiving this, how, oh, you know what, this was just, it was all part of a master plan. No other organization could pull off a feat like this. You guys don't understand how great these signings actually are. Everyone's going towards shooting, and the Lakers
Wait, no other organization could sign JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson?
No, nobody has the foresight for this, man.
Light years ahead.
They're light years ahead. Everyone thinks shooting is necessary, but the Warriors win with shooting. You have to go a different direction. Look, the Cavs lost with shooting. You can't have that. We need IQ.
The way to beat the Warriors is dumb. Dumb exactly. Guys who can't shoot. Okay.
As Rob Pelinka called
like that
bully
strategy. I love that strategy.
There is some merit to that because the Warriors.
Look at Deion Waiters.
The Warriors have actually adopted some of the stupid habits of the Cavs where they really do play down to the level of their competition. So if you can just get them to not give a shit, maybe you can you can hang around long enough to steal a game.
But Justin,
in the first round.
But I think the difference with Cleveland and Miami is Cleveland had never won anything. They literally did a documentary where you guys are so good at losing. The whole city is amazing at it.
Justin's from Cleveland. From Winnipeg.
Winnipeg is basically Cleveland North with sports history. So continue. It's flawless. I'm dead serious.
I meant Justin as a fan, but the whole city of Cleveland are they're great at losing, and so they finally win. So everything, you know, you're not as upset with the Heat. Like, we had won before. LeBron coming here kind of trampled on Wade's prime, and then even though we won and we were successful and took 2 out of 4 years, we're left with all these terrible fans who expect to win every year, who can't understand that sometimes you make bad free agency decisions and have to live with them, and you're not going to win every year. So let's just try to enjoy basketball, enjoy young guys getting
better.
Are
you ranting against yourself? What? I said, are you ranting against yourself?
Yes,
are you critiquing
yourself?
Believe me, we ran against Heat fans all the time. Heat fans
like
are
half our show.
We're so fickle.
The amazing thing about it is you have LeBron, who leads a contender after 2009, 2010. He brings that winning culture to Miami. Sure, Mr. Slickback Hair wants to take claim of it.
Wait. LeBron brought a what to Miami?
He brought culture. I mean, Pat Riley wants to talk about slamming the rings on the table. LeBron just wanted to play with his friends. He brings the culture to Miami.
LeBron brought his one Eastern Conference championship banner.
Exactly.
table.
Exactly.
All that winning. All that
exactly.
Winning
he brought that culture. He brought that sweet culture sauce. Then he comes back to Cleveland once again. Boom. Contender. L.A. can't even benefit from the culture. They can't even. They're the only team LeBron has ever gone to that isn't a contender in year one. It's baffling to me. But I guess that was the thing that really surprised me. I honestly thought that they would need to put something together.
So do you think that Lakers fans feel good about this? Like they're back?
Oh, dude, look at my mentions. Yes, absolutely.
Alf, if we got LeBron with the roster that we have, we'd be thinking we're back.
Yeah, but we're in the East, so that's a whole
thing. Like, it's totally different. With
us. No. Honestly, if we had LeBron and didn't make any other moves, we would probably be a top three team in the East. Like, we'd be contending with
top
Boston.
Top one.
But no, it'd be us, Boston.
Undefeated,
Philly,
never
right?
lost. Never lost.
Boston and Philly.
But LeBron on that team in the West, it's not about is the Heat's core better than the Lakers' core, because it is. But anyway, it's more about what the hell. I mean, he's in the West. Like, so that team
that's
is not going
to
contend. I can't imagine.
The Cavs honestly were like at risk for the majority of the season of missing the playoffs. And there was
fan.
A time they were like a game out from the eighth seed. I'm telling you, it was rough. And you're now going to a much worse supporting cast in LA, a younger, inexperienced supporting cast who, as I said, George Hill might be the second best player on that team if you just swapped him over there. And you certainly don't have anyone of Kevin Love's caliber. And all of a sudden, you expect that team to be a top two seed in the West. Like, it's absolutely baffling. And I don't think I don't think the West is great. Like, I think it's a little bit top heavy, but there's more teams with better rosters than the Lakers. Like, Portland was the third seed and they got swept in the first round. Like, I don't think all these teams are juggernauts, but there's enough good teams there when you look at Denver, Minnesota, and all the other teams.
No, man. Listen, I love this because I didn't know that Lakers fans were hyped up. I thought they were like, okay, well, we're a year away and next year we're going to sign everybody.
No, they're hyped.
The fact that Lakers fans are hyped about this is so sweet because you know what's going to happen, right? And this is what I've been saying. If LeBron makes a playoffs and he gets a first round or a second round exit, they are going to crush him. Like, they might boo him in their own building. Like, if they lose on the Staples Center floor, they might boo LeBron out of the building because they are such rabid Kobe fans and they have like a maybe 2-year memory. Like, they don't remember Kobe ever missing the playoffs or ever exiting in an early round. So they're going to be like, well, Kobe would never. Oh, not with this squad. We got Lonzo Ball and Ingram. Kobe
lost in the first round to Joe Johnson. What are you talking about?
No, that's what I'm saying. I understand that. But have you been a Lakers fan? They don't remember that. Kobe won an NBA title every year he ever played, according to Lakers fans. Except the 1 year Shaq and Karl Malone screwed it up for.
Well, the thing is, don't forget about blaming Dwight Howard too.
Dwight and Steve Nash's fault.
I'd say it's pretty split. I'd say it's Kobe fans that don't want LeBron there that are mad, because there's a lot of people that are mad on Twitter and they're lashing out at Cavs fans. They're lashing out at anybody that critiques the Lakers. But they're just mad that LeBron signed there because he's not as great as their GOAT, who's probably about the fifth or sixth best player in franchise history. But there's the other half that thinks that this is a two seed. They're like, oh, Houston took a step back. There's no clear two seed in the West anymore. That's the Lakers spot now. Everyone's going to see how good all of these young players are, even though Julius Randle was probably the second best player on that team last year. Like, that's the funny thing to me, is that they look at last year and they say 35 wins plus LeBron, that's probably another 15 wins there.
How this works.
Yeah, they don't look that, okay, they lost some key guys. You lost Randle. You signed a bunch of new players. There's a bunch of turnover. There's going to be an adjustment period. And now people actually give a shit about playing your team. They're not going to be hung over every single home game in L.A. because they get up for playing against LeBron. I mean, even the Kyrie and Love Cavs started like 19-20. You're going to have a bit of a step back. And this is an older LeBron. Like, he has regressed. I just don't think that they understand what they're in for. And maybe they get off to a hot start and I look like a dumbass, but this is in podcast form, so no one's ever going to go back to it.
No.
But so what is a Laker fan now? It's basically like Sacramento Kings fans that are tired of them being in the lottery every year. It's the Warriors fans that are tired of losing, and it's the Clippers fans that got.
Did you just say the Warriors fans are tired of losing?
Chris Paul left. Yeah, because what happens is the Lakers fan went to go be Warriors fans when they started being good. And now that they've won three or four, they're back. So. You know, you just keep going around all California, like picking. You know, none of these fans are real fans.
There's some Heat fans and some Cavs fans over there too.
Oh yeah, you know, you got the LeBron sexuals that are traveling with him. So
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp, LeBron sexual.
Oh, good old Shannon Sharp. What a guy.
Skip.
Man, I mean, it's just so funny to me. Like they don't realize that Brandon Ingram is basically. Jetty Osman, if you've never heard of protein powder, like
I think Ingram's going to be good.
So high on Justin, maybe you can explain it because I know that you know you're of the respected basketball minds. Why the hell are people so high on Ingram? Like that's the thing I don't get. Like I look at a guy who is very long and but how often do those kinds of players like pan out?
Like honestly, Giannis? I was really low on Ingram at the start of last year. Like I was just mocking him. I think. Ryan Morton came on the podcast and he called him the Robert Swift version of Kevin Durant. But no, like as the season progressed, Ingram actually was dealing with like a decent amount of usage. He can create his own shot. I think his shot selection's a little iffy. They're assuming he's got a 3-point shot, but that volume was so low. I don't know. You can read into it too much. But I think he's going to turn out to be a good player. Like out of the entire roster, I think he's the one that has some all-star potential. But he's going to have to make a massive leap in October if they're going to get off to a hot start or even a decent start. I just don't see why people expect him to be up to the task this soon in his career. And the thing that's baffling to me is, does any other franchise in the NBA get away with wasting a year of LeBron's prime?
Nope.
Well, Cavs did.
Well, I mean, but at least they were trying to make some moves.
No, but when did they wait? The Cavs have never wasted.
Yeah, they went to the finals.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not fair. They were trying.
No, even before LeBron came to Miami, look, they were always trying to do something.
Antoine Jameson
is always the one I think of. Everyone was like, oh my God, they got Antoine Jameson. And then like five games later, like, oh my God, they got Antoine Jameson? But the Cavs always tried. Like I don't know.
That trade deadline, you guys forgot how what was that the trade deadline that the Magic got Gilbert Arenas and they got Turgloo back? That was fun. That was a fun trade deadline. We got Rafer Alston. Could you imagine Heat Twitter as all that's going on and Pat pulls out Rafer Alston, how mad everyone would get?
But I think there's an issue sometimes with the one and dones with Ingram, because sometimes you get a Tatum who comes into the league and is very, very good right off the bat. And then you have guys who came from the same school like Ingram, Winslow, look how bad Okafor has been, where they go to Duke, they know they're going to be there for 1 year, they're playing with a lot of good players, they don't get as much usage as they probably would if they went to
Did you slander Justice Winslow?
Hold on, I'm finishing. And if they had had more time, like another year in school or on a team where they could have done more things, it would have been better for their development. And so the one and done is great because it gets you drafted. So if you go to Kentucky, if you go to Kansas,
Harrison, this thing is terrible.
Let me finish. You're not
Jonah
letting
Hill.
Me finish.
Jonah Hill.
and I think it messes with the development. Are you saying I sound like Jonah Hill?
It's an awful take.
I stopped listening to the take.
For the NCAA and players shouldn't go to Duke because there's too many good players.
No, yeah, I'm saying that's not what I'm saying.
I really don't know what I don't even know what your take was. I wanted to like it.
My take.
No, just leave it alone. We're done.
It wasn't good. It's okay. It's okay to have. We've all had
I'm
bad
takes.
I'm
not saying it wasn't good. I'm just saying I didn't understand it. Justin stopped listening, and G thinks it's bad. So I'm not saying it was a bad take.
You can stunt the development of young players, and I think that's why you're seeing like Winslow's been slow to get to been good. Ingram's
came into the league and was a rotation player in a playoff team. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but people expected him to be better.
No, people expected him to develop a jump shot from one day to the next, which is just unrealistic. But the rest of Winslow has been, like, fine.
Yeah, I think Ingram actually showed a lot of growth. But if I'm looking at a guy that how is he going to fit next to LeBron, it's actually going to be Ingram. Like, especially because he was having a high usage there last year. He had the ball in his hands. Lonzo actually was giving up the ball a lot, which a lot of Lakers fans will point to. But I don't know how him and Ingram are going to coexist. He's going to have to adjust a lot. And after he made just a slight jump in his game, having him need to adjust right off the bat, like, I think that's going to be really tough for him.
It's really easy. If LeBron's willing to, like, be a facilitator, like, not a facilitator, but, like, a screener, a guy that's cutting, like, doing what Dwayne did when LeBron was there. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's easy. Like, yeah.
He's going to be standing in the – people expect him to stand in the moon in the post, like – Jackie Moon and just no, ball, you don't have ball, to
do
that. Ball.
Like, if you want to get Ingram involved, you could do screen and rolls. You could set off screens for guys and get open off cuts. Like, there's ways that he can be, like, if he's, like, legitimately really interested in not ball handling, which is what I'm reading a lot. There's ways for him to be hyper effective.
But there was the same talk was there in 2014. Kyrie was talking about how, oh, I always wanted to play as a pure point guard, but I had to take a lot of shots because of my role. I want to make that adjustment. And they started the year with Kyrie playing as the point guard and LeBron playing off ball. But as soon as some losing happens, LeBron's competitiveness kicks in. And it's, okay, fuck it. Give me the ball. I'm going to be dictating the terms here. And I just think unless Lonzo, Rondo, well, Rondo's probably going to start if they're starting the best player, but unless whoever's bringing up the ball gets the offense humming and they're winning right off the bat, I just don't see him ceding control for long. Like, I just think he's going to take the reins.
I still can't believe you guys have seen so many guys struggle on one and done teams in the NBA.
Oh my God, I was going to say, if I hear Duke, if I hear one and done.
because it's very simple. I will go do get some stats and I will post them on Twitter later.
Why are you being Greg Cody right now? Why are you being Greg Cody?
Yeah, all those 4-year college players doing great in the NBA, dude.
It's guys at 28 coming out.
Shout out to Tyler Zeller.
Are the Lakers going to sign that guy?
Guys have a 401k when they get out of college. They're so old.
Are the Lakers going to bring back that guy who had like 20 points in his Laker debut the last game of the season? Ingram?
Remember the guy? The Ingram that can shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, they need a shooter. 30-year-old rookie. They need to bring him.
They got Mo Wagner. He's going to start.
They want Tyler Johnson. Can I interest him? He's a shooter.
They need a center. They can have Tyler and Hassan.
And Hassan. Dude, that's two areas of needs. Those are actually guys that would be good with LeBron.
Man, I was going to say the Cavs can take Tyler Johnson for you guys can have one of our non-guaranteed deals for a pick. But then I realized you gave up all your picks for fucking Goran Dragic.
No, we have all our picks. We have all our picks except for one.
Justin, what do you want? George Hill for Tyler? Can we do it straight up?
Let's sign the paperwork right now.
I want picks. Although, actually, what I probably want more than that would be young players so that the Cavs don't have to use the picks.
Tyler Johnson's a young player.
Tyler's young. Man. And he doesn't have all his teeth, so his dental bills are lower.
I was going to say the gingivitis that caused him to lose his teeth has probably aged him beyond what he claims. Man, it's going to be an interesting year. Any of you guys have some kind of parting thoughts on this before we wrap this up, or is it just we can't wait to see how bad the Lakers are going to be?
The Lakers are not going to make the playoffs. I'm saying it here. They are going to be a 9 seed. They're just going to miss it. They're not going to have enough. I'm here. I'm on record. I'm on the Chase Down on a big time podcast saying it. The Lakers are not going to make the playoffs.
LeBron James will be booed off the Staples Center court at least twice this year.
At least twice. Harrison, give us your take on one undone.
Oh, no, I don't want to.
Finish your one undone take.
No, you guys really made me feel bad. And then I ruined the pod by doing that. But anyway, I think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, but they're going to be very low seed, 7 or 8, and probably losing 5 games in the first round. It's not going to be very good. But it gives LeBron a lot of time to go star in his comedy movie. He's going to need to work on that because he's not very funny. And I guess he'll enjoy it out there. He seems happy in the pool and, you know, skipping pizza events. So good for him. Good for his family.
Matt, next year's Lakers are the comedy movie. Get it right.
They are the comedy
movie. Anyways, you guys, thank you so much for coming on. Make sure you guys check out Heat Beat. You guys all do really great work. You guys are like... You're Legion. Like, you mess with one of you guys, all of a sudden, everyone comes out of the woodwork.
Twitter is Legion. You can check us out at MIA Heatbeat if you're interested in anything that we do, at MIA Heatbeat, and our mothership network at Five Reasons Sports. That's on our Twitter page. We do that's the network that houses us and all sorts of other very Miami local things. Ethan Skolnick, longtime NBA journalist, hosts a flagship show, so it's very NBA centric, and he has really good guests like Udonis Haslem was on, Brian Grant was on, Mario Chalmers. So lots of cool stuff at the network going on and on our Twitter account.
See how professional Giancarlo is. I didn't even have to tell you to plug your stuff. You just saw that opening and you took it. Dude,
I'm ready.
Well, here's my plug. That's not professional. If you want to hear a podcast that uses the N-word a lot and says motherfucker a shit ton, listen to my other podcast. It's called Light Skinned Opinions. We're at Light Skinned Ops on Twitter. It's me, Champion Life, and King_Kong_Bundy. The podcast is about pop culture, politics, sports. We just had Harry on last week to ask a white guy. It's offensive as shit. It's going to make you uncomfortable. You're going to squirm in your seat, and that's exactly what we like.
I was going to say I'm far too white for that shit. Harry, do you have anything to plug?
Well, I'm not on any other podcasts because firing off hot takes is a full-time job. But you can follow me on Twitter at Hot Take Harry. And I'm always yelling at someone or getting mad about something. So it's a good follow if you want to see me get angry for no reason.
Wow, way to make yourself sound like the rest of NBA Twitter. Do you like every single person you follow? Well, then you're going to love more of it with me.
Yeah, I'm a clone.
No, I love that, though. It's so good. I at least appreciate the self-awareness, because I find the best follows are people that are self-aware and don't take themselves too seriously. Otherwise, this is just an absolute nightmare. So thank you to all of you for coming on. Thank you to our listeners. Remember, you can support the podcast. You can find us on Patreon at Chase Down Podcast. You can also support us the old school way. Leave a review, rating, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Cook those numbers. So when Carter's back, we will talk about the Cavs Summer League. We'll talk about Jetty Osman being the second coming of LeBron James and everything else that's going on. So until next time, go Cavs.